June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, DFW. Sean and RJ here, 105.3 The Phantom. RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt. Peyton and Aiden alongside. Sean is on vacation this week. He gets a lot of time off, but again, it's not paternity leave, normal vacation. We have an NBA champion. It is the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now you have permission to start your do we have a dynasty brewing conversations. Can't do that when they hadn't won a title yet. People were trying. But now you've got the permission to be able to do that.
Oh, I mean, we can start with Houston, too, since they're about to launch this dynasty with KD, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Allegedly. And then, I don't know, maybe the Cooper Flagg dynasty starts.
And maybe the Cooper Flagg
dynasty. Chest pass Gerald Wallace. Or bounce past Gerald Wallace. I can't remember which one I called him to Reggie.
You called who?
I called Cooper Flagg bounce past Gerald Wallace just to troll to Reggie.
Reginald Attitude joining us here on 105.3 The Fan. Our old buddy, our old pal. Good morning, brother. What's up, man?
Hey, man. It's good to be on with you. Although I will notice, I knew immediately when Bobby was like, hey, would you like to come on? I was like, Sean's out of town now, isn't he?
If I ask, like, if I'm booking guests, it's because I got to do it.
Okay. All right. I'll it doesn't hurt my feelings, but I'm always happy to be on with you.
All right. So Bobby is, I mean, he's saying Houston clearly won the trade. This is a, you know, maybe not quite a dynasty brewing, but like, obviously they put themselves in a better position. What was your initial reaction? Did they win the trade? All the things.
Absolutely won the trade. It took me a second. Cause when you're very, when you're in it, You look at, oh man, I really like what Dylan Brooks brings, you know, when it comes to the tenacity and everything. And I was like, wait, what am I doing right now? No, this is a banger of a win, right? You gave up Jalen Green, who, you know, we're still trying to see if he can be like a high level all-star kind of player, and he'll go figure that out himself. Dylan Brooks is a nice role guy who does have the tenacity, but what are we talking about here? You had a Kevin Durant score 26 points a game, 26 plus a game in his age 36 season when it was him, Devin Booker, and dudes. Like, this is absolutely a great acquisition for the Rockets, a team that needed offense in the worst way, that still needs to figure out their offense, to be entirely honest. But at the very least, if you go, hey, Kevin Durant, still one of, if not the best jump shooters in the league, here, have the basketball when we need you to get a bucket. That's a huge thing that they need, especially when it came down to like winning in the playoffs. That was the thing that they needed greatly, and that gives them a great opportunity now, as evidenced by the odds. RJ, I know you're a betting man.
Yep.
They now have the second best odds to be the NBA champion. Of course, it's very early on, but it's in large part because they answered a big question that they needed.
So wait, it's OKC and then Houston as the, or is that just in the West?
No, that is NBA championship odds, of course, which is helped along by the fact that we had three dudes end up with Achilles injuries this past in this playoffs. When you talk about Dame Lillard, Jason Tatum, and now Tyrese Halliburton, those teams are not going to have those significant players in the East. So you look at the East and you go, who's really challenging? That's a question out there. Like, is it the Knicks? They don't even have a coach right now. And then you look at the West and the Rockets were number two, and they just added a superstar caliber player. I think that's how you end up in that space.
You know, we were talking about it earlier. Obviously, the key piece here, other than the draft picks, everybody's just trying to stack up draft picks. But when you look at the key piece here, people are going like, all right, yeah, they give up Green. And he was somebody who I think for a lot of people on the surface looks like, all right, he's a 20 point per game guy. Like, I know who that is. He was, you know, a former big time pedigree player. Like, but he was pretty inefficient last year for the most part. And it was something where when I looked at it, I was like, to me, that's a sacrifice you can make. You're giving up a pest in Brooks who shot the ball better last year than he has in recent years. But, man, Jalen Green at the end of the season last year, that was concerning into the playoffs where he's putting up 7-point games in 30 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, that's where this team is. The Rockets are a team where they're trying to move from being an 82-game team to a 16-game team. I think you know what I mean when I say that. They want to be a playoff contributor. Mm-hmm. And like, or in order to be a contender, you need guys that are going to be consistent. Consistency is the word when it comes to Jalen Green. He has the capability of being a three-level scorer. Does he do it consistently, and can he do it at any given time when you need it? And that's a huge question that I think a lot of people in Houston have actually already given up on. I don't know if that's entirely correct, but I also don't think that's something you can wait on, because in the NBA and in a lot of these sports, these windows are a lot shorter than we think they are. How many times do we see a champion go, they're going to be here for five, 6 years, and then in 2 years, they're in the bottom of the league or what have you, or in the middle or what have you, right? Like these things don't open up that long. And so I was very much an advocate for go and make something happen. And they made it happen for the low. They still control Phoenix's draft into the future with the 27 and 29 first round picks, nor did they have to. And they didn't have to give up Jabari Smith Jr. or Tari Eason, a couple of the young, talented guys that they've been able to accumulate with all the draft picks that they had from being bad. So yeah, man, this was easy decision.
So are they going to give him the long term? I mean, he's old.
He is old. Age 37 season loading in this one. I don't know, which is funny. And the interesting thing that I'm going to discuss a little bit later on today on our show in the loop on Sports Radio 610 is that even a necessity? Like, if he is a rental, is that okay? Because of how little you had to give up, if you get age 37 season of Kevin Durant, is that cool? I could easily, and if I had to guess, like the larger percentage for me says that they do sign him to an extension, maybe a 2-year deal that sees him in like the $50 to $55 million a year range. But I think that you could probably make an argument that even without that, like get him for a year, help you continue to push your offense forward, find who you are, and you can let him on his way if you really wanted to. But I would lean towards, yes, that they sign him to an extension, especially because he does not have to be foundational in what you have. You still have a lot of young talent.
Reggie Adetula, Jordan Nasir on 105 through the Fan. Okay, so the Rockets, you said, second best odds right now in the West, according to Vegas, or in the NBA, according to Vegas. Mavericks, of course, got their dream. They win the lottery. They get the number one pick. They are slated to pick Cooper Flagg. In fact, they already did it, if you saw what KG tweeted out last week, where they accidentally put that up on the website. The Mavs with Flag, with Kyrie coming back hopefully by the second half of the season sometime, but coming off of a knee injury at his age, Anthony Davis with his questions. How do you view Dallas right now heading into next season with Flag in the mix? And what do you think is the best case scenario for what that team could look like if Kyrie's healthy? Like how does that team function? And what do you think is realistic for Dallas heading into next year?
They are a team that has a huge delta between those two things that you discussed, right? Like that is this is a incredible in theory type team, which is one of the reasons why everybody in Dallas has right to bang on Nico Harrison, right? Anthony Davis, when he is healthy, is a monster. You have three starting centers, which pose incredible difficulties. In fact, the Houston Rockets thank the Dallas Mavericks, because you remember it was the debut for Anthony Davis where y'all were running out two bigs that forced the Rockets into playing Şengün alongside Steven Adams, and that figured out one of the better combinations the Rockets had. Like, they pose real challenges to teams in addition to the fact that, like, you have length all the way up. You can play really big. And then if Kyrie is out there, he's a great playmaker, and we know he's one of the best, if not still the best difficult shot makers in the league. The problem is a whole bunch of dudes that I don't know if they're going to show up to work because it's a lot of injuries. Plus, again, that size cuts both ways. Are you going to be able to match up with some of these teams that have a lot of versatility? We're looking at two teams that just faced off in the finals that have a lot of versatility. Hell, Cason Wallace was out here guarding bigs. And so are you going to have guys that can guard on the perimeter? AD likes playing the four. Are you going to be able to guard Pascal Siakam? Right. Those types of things are questions that I think show up for this Mavericks team. And so the age difference and the ways in which those guys maybe aren't healthy is the thing that I continue to look at. But if they are healthy and everything is cohesive, which is a huge if, like it's a really fun basketball team for the short term. That's a big question that exists. And I wouldn't be the one to try and call it because Anthony Davis has been injured more often than not. Kyrie Irving coming off of an injury at an advanced age. Klay Thompson, is he even capable of being a starter anymore?
he can knock down some of the open shots every now and then.
You can't rely on
him. I don't think he signed up for no Luka and no Kyrie, though, when he signed here. Right. When he decided
to leave I don't blame him for that, but it's just these are all the questions that now the Mavericks have to answer. And also, that thing about, hey, what are you going to do for point guard for the maybe 60 games that Kyrie isn't playing?
Would you, and I know they're not going to, and they should, I don't think they should, but would you entertain moving the pick at all? Like, what would it cost you to move the pick?
I would not entertain moving that pick. Now here's the tough part about that. And if you were leaning fully into the direction of Nico Harrison, he is playing for right bleeping now, mm-hmm. right? Like there is no vision for the future. And so in theory, a number one overall pick, as good as Cooper Flagg projects to be, is not necessarily a right bleeping now move. Like move that to get some assets for right now. Except I don't know that that's a smart move. And especially when you traded away a face of the franchise, Cooper Flagg is the type of player where people were talking about y'all having it rigged because here is another guy that can be a face of the franchise that you could put up in Love Field and DFW, right? Like just like Luka was. I think that that matters so much more. And if you are willing to believe and take at face value, which you shouldn't be, the idea that they did not think and realize how hard it would hit the DFW community if they traded Luka, you better not make that mistake twice. You know what I mean? Like, again, trying to win it is important, but trying to have a guy who has the capability of being a super, superstar in this league for a good amount of time, especially since he's 18 bleeping years old, you better sign him, man.
We had this, Sean has brought this up. We've kicked it around a little bit some of these times. Over the next 3 years, let's say, you project, let's say Kyrie comes back healthy and he maintains health for the next few years, okay? And then everything else is just projection, but he comes back healthy. Over the next 3 years, are we saying that the Lakers or the Mavericks are a better basketball team?
Oof. You know what's funny? A factor that plays into this is the fact that the Lakers sold for $10 billion over the, or at least a valuation of $10 billion. Because I was listening to Zach Lowe talk about this. And the Lakers have the advantages that we've talked about, right? The glitz and glam of LA, the comfort, all those things. They've been a mom and pop shop that has not been able to do all the other things on the periphery when it comes to spending money. Now they got that with the Dodgers owner, was it Mr. Walter or what have you? I think that that actually allows them to get a little bit smarter and a little bit better. And they have the superstars in tow. I think they're going to be better about finding those additional pieces around the periphery and saddling them around Luka Doncic to the point where I do think that the Lakers would be in a better place. Because again, the Mavericks traded what felt like a team that was situated to have a nice long haul for a team that is kind of brittle and is a right now team. And even if you talk about Kyrie being healthy or what have you, I'm not certain that kind of fixes and over indexes all the other things that we're talking about. Like how do they match up with various different teams? Even though I think that they're going to be fun and that it would be an interesting thing to watch. I'm not betting on that versus what I think the Lakers have with nice young talent and then an opportunity to maybe get smarter about the ways that they put things around it.
All right, so I jokingly told you a couple weeks ago through text, I was like, I trollingly called Cooper Flagg bounce past Gerald Wallace today. He said, boy, I would have lit you up. So I'm going to give you the opportunity now. Tell me why bounce past Gerald Wallace is so good.
I can't believe you're doing that.
It's a troll. I'm trolling, but I'm going to give you the chance to tell me why Cooper Flagg is as good as he is.
I mean, it's a dude who has, I mean, one, you talk about the body, right? The body profile. Because one of the things we talk about that we should talk about with young players is the ability to play with adults, right? That is usually a big tell. Like if you hear the legends of great basketball players, one of my favorite genres of those stories is the dude that's like 15 playing in the open run with NBA players. That's Cooper Flagg, right? That is Cooper Flagg as of right now. His body is still developing and he already has the size and the ability to do that. Plus, like when it comes to being a really good basketball player early, I think the additional level of things, especially that we don't see a lot as much in American players, is the ability to play like more team-based basketball, like being a good, having good vision, being a good offensive hub and distributor. He already has that, right? Like that is the thing that Mark Cuban came out was like, yo, AAU is ruining American basketball. He's got that stuff mm-hmm. in tow. He has to get better as an individual scorer. And assuming that the rumors that I've seen are not true and God does not leave, like that's one thing the Dallas Mavericks have had is a development staff that's capable of making dudes even better in that regard. You have a great profile, a great foundation. He's still young and able to develop. I think that, man, the sky's the limit because the starting point is already so damn high with him. And one of the toughest things to figure out is defense, and he has that in tow as well. Like he's either got the pieces or like the skills or the baseline for the skills that are necessary to be like a five-tool type player.
Thank you, Reggie. Appreciate it, man.
Love you guys.
Got that, Reggie. Love you.
Atitula, Houston. Former friend. Still friend.
Not former friend. He's
still friend.
Oh, look. He just heard that in his
You know what I mean. You know what I mean. That's not here anymore. Right? Not here.
Yeah,
anymore.
I get it. Somebody did notice, though, on the fan text, they're like, man, he already referred to Dallas as y'all.
I know.
They're like, that hurts. Reggie already sees this as y'all.
Very bummed.
We love Reggie.
We got the Red Zone. Red Zone coming up next year on 105.3. The Fan.
How many people want to eat a W tonight?
You know what I like about the media? They think you can just dial 1-800 and get a quarterback.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, Choppy. We got the rest of the NFL all-quarter century team from ESPN. We did this earlier today during the Expressway. We did the offense first. This is from Aaron Schatz and Seth Walder, the analytics guys over at ESPN, where they picked a 53-man roster of players from the last 25 years. They can have started their careers in the 90s, but they had to play into the 2000s and have the majority of their success in 2000. So we ran through the offense, some of the offensive things in there, like not having Adrian Peterson anywhere on the team, not having LaDainian Tomlinson on the main roster, no Larry Fitzgerald like you talked about.
No Witten.
Let's see if the, that was another big one. Let's see if the defense is...
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Equally as offensive. Four edge rushers make the roster and then two on the practice squad.
Four edge rushers make the roster.
And Peyton, feel free to throw out some names here too.
J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt is not with the edge rushers. Oh. We're going to get to that here in a second.
So is he?
He is on the roster.
Line or outside linebacker?
He's on generic defensive line. Like it's this versatile defensive lineman roster spot they gave to. So that's technically correct, but not edge
All right.
rusher.
Is Miles on there?
Miles Garrett is on here.
So this is just edge.
Yep, edge rushers only.
Is he first team?
Yep.
Is DeMarcus Ware on there?
Yes.
Is Von Miller on there?
Von Miller is nowhere on this list.
That's interesting.
Very surprising.
Hmm.
They're just going after DFW guys. LaDainian Tomlinson, Von Miller, they're just attacking them.
So am I to believe that no outside linebackers are on this, or are they counting that?
They're counting them as edge rushers.
Okay. Is Terrell Suggs?
Terrell Suggs is not on the list. Thinking of big number 69.
I'm terrible with numbers.
Guy played spent time in Minnesota, Kansas City.
Allen.
Jared Allen.
Got it. Okay. And then we've got one more on the starting group. Former number two overall pick. Had a big college basketball career, too.
Oh, Peppers.
Julius Peppers. Got it. I'll just throw you the practice squad members. Michael Strahan.
Wow.
And TJ Watt. TJ Watt over Von Miller for you. Chop, I know you love seeing that
one. Yeah, I don't know that you can do that.
All right,
look at it real quick.
Mm-hmm.
The Pro Football Hall of Fame monitor, which I really like. Evaluate, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
TJ is well below the average Hall of Fame outside linebacker. Now, he's got room to go still, right, because he's got years to play. But, I mean, he's behind Khalil Mack.
Khalil Mack.
He's behind Von
10,000 degrees.
He's behind Suggs. There you go. All right.
Or it's 1,000 degrees. Never mind. All right. Defensive tackles. We got four of them and then two on the practice squad from ESPN. This is their all quarter century team list.
All right. Donald.
Aaron Donald is on there.
Kevin Williams.
Kevin Williams is honorable mention practice squad.
Sue?
No. One of these guys is kind of a defensive end, defensive tackle hybrid, and has just recently signed with a new team for like his 18th season.
Cam Hayward?
Cam Hayward's honorable.
Okay. I don't know.
Calais Campbell is the other one. And then we got one more defensive tackle, current player, probably Chris Jones, best one. And then you've got a nose tackle in the defensive tackle group. Pure run stuffing, big guy.
Sue was what?
Sue was not on here.
Not on here at all.
Mm-mm. One more defensive tackle, and this is a nose tackle. This is a big run stuffing, jovial guy. He likes to wear suspenders. Or wore overalls, not suspenders, wore overalls to practice one time, very famously, on Hard Knocks.
I don't know.
Vince Wilfork.
Oh.
Defensive tackle from the New England Patriots, Houston Texans. All right, okay. Let's go to the linebackers now. You have five linebackers. These are traditional linebackers with one practice squad member.
Did they put Ray Lewis in here?
Ray Lewis is here. He is the only AFC linebacker.
Kuechly?
Luke Kuechly is here.
Bobby Wagner?
Bobby Wagner is here. Look at this, ace in it. Next, we got NFC South currently playing, and then we've got NFC North.
NFC North.
Mm-hmm. Played safety in college.
NFC North. Urlacher?
Got it. Brian Urlacher. And then the last one, this is NFC South currently playing. Tampa.
Oh, God.
Peyton, you got a guess?
I'm drawing a blank here.
No.
Guys, come on. Levante David. And then the practice squad linebacker is another Buccaneers linebacker, very famous for being the drop guy in the Tampa 2 system. Picked off a lot of passes as a linebacker on the Super Bowl team.
In 02?
Hall of Famer.
Who was on that 02 team? Derek Brooks?
Derek Brooks, you got it. All right, so see, the defense has not been as offensive yet as the offensive side of the ball.
It hasn't been.
The edge rushers were a little controversial. We got five corners. This is where, in fact, let's skip corner. Let's just go to safeties first, and then we'll come back to corners. Because I know you said the corners were going to be of interest to you. We got four safeties here and one practice squad.
Okay.
ESPN's all quarter century team list.
Ed Reed.
Ed Reed is number one.
Ed Reed's got to be on there.
I believe Bill Belichick called him the best player or the best safety he's ever seen.
Okay, so Woodson didn't play enough years as a safety.
Yeah, like 2 years. He only played 2 years into the 2000s, 2-3 years.
Oh, Polamalu?
Troy Polamalu is on here. You got the first two. Boy, the next one on the list is somebody who we get irritated that he's thought of so much more highly than
John Lynch?
Nope, not on this list at all. But
because he was more early.
This is a good player, but it's still like people were like, yeah, come on. Because he played in the same division, so it was very easy to compare. Dark Visor.
Dawkins?
Brian Dawkins, got it. And then the final one is a Legion of Boom guy.
Oh, Cam?
No.
Oh, Earl.
Earl Thomas. Earl. Goodbye, Earl. And then the practice squad one, I'm just going to throw it out there because you're not going to get it because he spent most of his career as a corner. It's Charles Woodson.
I said Woodson.
You didn't say Woodson.
Earlier, I said Woodson's going to be on. Did he not play enough?
Oh, I thought you were talking about Darren Woodson.
Oh, no.
This is Charles Woodson, yeah. All right.
Oh, Darren Woodson, I would say Woody.
Okay, there we go. That's it. I'm going to give you the specialist real quick because I don't want to guess through all those. Justin Tucker, Shane Leckler.
Okay, so are you surprised they put Tucker over Vinatieri?
I'm surprised they did it in this day and age, yeah.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yes. Devin Hester is the returner with Cordarrelle Patterson as the backup. Matthew Slater as the special teams ace. Morgan Cox is the long snapper. Now we got corners, Chop, and there are five corners on here, one practice squad guy.
Five corners. Okay. Did Charles Woodson make the corner list too?
No.
All right. Revis.
Darrell Revis is on here. Darrell Revis.
Is he the first team?
Yes.
Sherman.
Richard Sherman is on here. ESPN's all quarter century team.
Champ Bailey.
Champ Bailey is on here.
Patrick.
Patrick Peterson is on here. You're acing this. You still got the practice squad and one more very overrated cornerback. Little guy. And I agree with the 817 and 682 and 972. It is pretty bad that there's no Patrick Willis on the linebacker side. I'm guessing it's because he only played 6 years.
Let's see. This is the teams here.
This is a little guy. His brother also played in the NFL.
Barber?
Rondé Barber is the third corner on the list.
Really?
Yep. And the practice squad guy.
I don't know about that one.
The practice squad guy is Jalen Ramsey. Now, here's kind of my issue with this. Again, if we're just talking about peak performance, since that seems to be what they care about, since they took 3 years of Priest Holmes, how can you not have Nnamdi Asamoah on this
Good
list?
Question.
He,
Good
there,
question.
The, literally nobody could throw on Asamoah for about 3 years, 4 years.
Yeah,
that's it was question. Not possible. Now, some of the other names that got some pushback from some people that they were like, how does he not get on there? Ty Law was including this. I always thought Ty Law was a better player than...
Wasn't a lot of Ty stuff in the 90s?
Wasn't he
there for like the 96 team?
He was, but he made his all pros in the 2000s, and he made 4 Pro Bowls in the 2000s.
Yeah.
To me, that's a better player than Rondé Barber.
Yes, I think so. Asante Samuel had a pop.
Yeah, he was so
brief.
It was so short, so tired. Some of the names that got pushed around as people were like, should have been on there. Some of the names that we saw, Chris Harris
is really good.
Was one that we saw on there. Another one that I saw some pushback for.
You know
what?
I thought Chris Harris was going to drop off when Champ retired. He didn't.
We saw Aqib Talib get some names.
Really good.
I honestly would take all of them over Rondé Barber.
I agree.
I always felt like Rondé Barber was massively overrated. Or you know what I would have taken? Charles Woodson as a corner. You can't tell me that all those guys are not better than Rondé Barber. That's where I come down. And here are the coaches that they put on their staff. Bill Belichick is the head coach. Kyle Shanahan is the offensive coordinator. Wade Phillips, defensive coordinator. And Dave Taub as the special teams coordinator.
Oh, wow. So Andy Reid did not get the OC. They gave it
to
Kyle Shanahan.
They're giving it to somebody who was an OC during this window. Like Andy was a head coach. So that's why.
Okay. And then Wade, obviously. Yeah, Wade. I absolutely see that.
So
wow, that's great.
That's
stuff.
Your all quarter century team from ESPN.
That's a fun list. Look, people love lists. This is
I've said it for forever. Yeah. Chris Arnold won't stop copying me over it.
No,
but
he won't. We're in list season. This is list season,
dude. This is peak list season.
This is very much
4 weeks
season.
Our list season.
Yes,
bro.
This is list season. Yeah.
it's list season, and it's also gaff season. And I know you've been looking up at this clock trying to drag this segment out as long as you can to not have to play this clip. But
we're playing this clip. Okay, so this is.
You can cut the music now.
The 31 seconds of dead air today or yesterday over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
When Chip Carey, I can't believe we're going
to
play this, but
I even
asked Hagee, I was like, would you play this? He goes, absolutely, I would play this.
Yeah, I was telling Chop to play it during the segment. He's like, shit. I was like, yes. He's like, I'm going to ask Hagee. I was like, stop it. Just play it. And he went and asked him anyway. And Hagee
said,
play
Chip Carey with one of the worst slips you're gonna hear.
Disability Pride Night is Thursday, July 10th, and with the theme ticket, fans take home a Cardinals cap featuring the Disability Pride flag and Cardinals in Braille. Details at cardinals.com/theme.
And what followed was 31 seconds of silence.
And I thought Peyton was going to leave it in there, but
we can't do 31 seconds of silence. My gosh, this is a very unfortunate slip of the tongue. I'm going to show you during the break. He would kill me if I played it on the air. I'm going to show you a slip up Zach had about a year ago that he was just praying would not be caught. And luckily it did, but I made sure to clip it and I send it to him every so often and it makes him panic. But you know, this just blood ran cold when he said this.
Oh, of course.
It had to.
Of course.
And the dumb thing is the statement that got released where they had to go like, we're not going to punish Chip Carey.
Of course you're not going to punish, because you don't need a statement.
You don't even need to say that. He did. It was clearly he slipped up. There was nothing malicious about what he said.
No, you're reading. It happens. It Slater did this with the Tyron Smith.
The bulging disc.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It happens. It's you know, you don't need a statement about it.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or menstclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Apologize over it.
Right.
You know, that 31 seconds of dead air, though.
Bulging
You'll hear that. You'll hear that. Like baseball announcers, because there's so much downtime, they'll have some dead air because they'll be laughing because of something that happened.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because they cut the mic. They did that with a couple of weeks ago. Keith Hernandez did that.
Yeah. Like, I wasn't talking about the hot dog.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's unfortunate. Chip Carey. Oh, boy. Crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece is next. It is Crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece here on 105 through the Fan. I'm RJ Choppy. He's Bobby Belt, Peyton, and Aiden. We've got...
Where the hell is Sean?
Where the hell is Corey?
Yeah,
where the hell is Corey? Vacation.
Where the hell is Mike?
It doesn't work.
Where the hell's
anymore.
Alec?
Yeah, where's Alec?
He's probably still hungover.
There we go.
I think he's in the ICU, an IV in his arm.
Man. So Sean's on vacation, huh?
Uh-huh.
He's earned it.
Well, you get
I'm just kidding, Sean. I love you.
You get the paternity leave, and then you still got your vacation time.
Right.
That's how it works. You know, it's like I said, it's the one good thing about having kids.
What? Not the love and all of that?
That comes later. Young kids.
Hold on. So you're like, I get paternity leave straight away. The love, we'll get that.
You
got to
work on
it.
Yeah, okay. You got to work on it. You know.
Love the kids straight away?
They're kind of ugly.
Oh, my God.
Needy, smelly, pooping.
Needy, yeah. It's like they love you unconditionally early on.
Yeah. They're a little needy in the beginning.
My daughter didn't actually even really like me until probably she was 1.5.
Oh, no.
Man hater.
You know.
She hates men.
When we were living with my parents, I think she liked my dad more than she liked me. Like, Grandpa was that
cool
guy.
Huh?
No, my dad's that dude. I get it. But it wasn't until we moved out of my parents' house that she was like, okay, I guess I don't really have a choice in the matter. I'm going to go ahead and be nice to this guy.
She voted
now
against the Ten Commandments.
Well, she would never go
oh
full Clarence.
So how was your weekend, Eric?
My weekend was fantastic.
You had some time on your hands.
Every once in a while.
Thou shalt not lie. Was it really fantastic?
Well,
I probably lost maybe like 40, 50 followers. So that was pretty good. I don't have enough followers to lose that. So that was like disappointing hindsight.
Why? What did you do?
Clarence Hill decided to jump on the, I guess there's a new bill in the state of Texas where
we're actually going to break this down.
Okay. Schools are
going to break this down.
You were just joking.
No. I really didn't know.
Go ahead. I don't know.
I mean, I'm familiar with the bill, but I really didn't know if Clarence Hill put something
They disagreed over that bill, and then Eric just decided to pick off every person who jumped at his mentions.
Well, because when you get Schmo69 on Twitter that's commenting on something, I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna take you seriously, bro.
That was a stressful thing. I had a stressful weekend. Chop was watching baseball. That's always a stressful weekend. There's only one person who had a great weekend, and it's Kevin Hagland. Yeah, you did, because you touched a man's soul over the weekend,
huh?
Didn't you?
How'd you go about doing that? What?
This past Saturday was Will Chambers' last show.
Oh yes,
and Kevin Hagland, with no intention to, literally something he said 5 years ago made Will Chambers cry.
Gavin's there introducing me to Kevin and Corey. And so I talked with them for a minute, like, yeah, oh yeah, hell yeah, I know, you know, because I had never met them. And I met them, and he's like, yeah, Will's going to be, you know, filling in and doing weekends, doing Saturdays and Sundays. And the next day I'm listening to KNC, and Kevin Hagland said, you know, this station, how good this station is, that Will Chambers is doing our weekends. And I've never forgot it, because that was the first time it was talked about. And you don't know always how you land with an audience or with your colleagues. And these are new colleagues. And what that was said right there gave me a confidence going into this that I needed.
Does Will know that when you said it, you were crossing your fingers on the fan cam? Or was he listening?
Looking into the cameras.
I don't think he would have cried if he saw the finger cross.
Not true.
That was, look at that. You touched his soul. Did you ever know that meant so much to
no,
him?
No, I didn't. And I was really appreciative of you sending that to me. And I sent Will a text. I was like, I love you, man. And I thought that was a delightful moment.
Is that the same clip you sent me?
Yes. Okay. Choppy wouldn't listen to it. Choppy's getting weepier in his old age, and he doesn't want to hear emotional things.
I can't listen to a man talk and cry at the same time. It just gets me. I don't want to live.
Hold on. At least you didn't have to look at him, though. That's the toughest part.
I don't want to hear it. I'm glad he's in his feels. I just don't want to hear it.
Hold on. So you're on your deathbed, and one of your sons is like pouring his heart out about what a great dad you were. And you're like, I'd rather just be dead.
When I'm on my deathbed, my child better tell the story of him going through Sarah's drawer.
No.
Wow. That's what he better tell. He better tell. I want jokes. I want comedy. I want humor at my funeral. I don't want anybody crying over me. I'm not worth crying over.
Maybe they laugh so hard they cry at the funeral.
Sure. Yeah, I'm not. They'll cry over me.
That's a sad thing.
I didn't do it. You're not worth crying over. I didn't do it. I wasn't. I'm not a special father. I'm just a father. I'm just there.
Peyton, I've got a
you're
bit.
You're a jag. Like you're just a guy. You're not a starter. You're not.
I'm available. Like I'm there. Like
Pro Bowl alternate.
If they need me, I'm there. That's what I do. Right? You know, I'm there. I'm there for them. I give them what they need. I'm there for them. I'm not some special guy.
All right.
Don't cry over me. You ain't going to miss me. You know what?
If you die tomorrow, I'd probably cry.
I'm replaceable, man. You'll find somebody else. You're gonna
I didn't
love.
Say that. That's why we brought Bobby in.
Yeah, you replace somebody else. You know, I'll be all right.
I think what we're finding here, Peyton, is what we should do this week, like how we made the letters, like giving him like speeches at his wedding. We should just write something up this week and read it on the air about how much Chop means to us and see if we can get him to cry.
You know what?
See.
Yeah,
see, you guys should write one. And we should do it during crosstalk.
Yeah, you guys can talk nice about me. I'll listen. Well, to that.
No, we're gonna get it. We're gonna make him cry.
You're gonna really tug at the heartstrings.
Yeah, we're gonna. You should write one. I mean, we're definitely. But if y'all went in on it too, we'll do it during crosstalk. I'm gonna write one. He will cry this week at something I say.
Okay.
See, I'm glad that you gave us more parameters, because what I was gonna say if my speech, if Choppy was gone, is I was like, you know, I'd had maybe a couple of passing conversations with Choppy. Hey, how's it going? Good to see you. Blah, blah, blah. But then when we went to training camp, had never really had an in-depth, real conversation. Choppy told me he was probably intoxicated. He told me so many details about his life. It was shocking to me as an adult. I was shocked by the things that you said in that moment. And I was like, bro, I don't even really know you, but I feel like after that I did.
Okay. Was this in the house where you were sitting there watching NXT the entire time on the internet?
But I can admit that.
And Choppy was smoking NXT.
Unlike Choppy and Sean, who can't admit that they were watching the finale of The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, because I know Sean disputes this. I swear to God, and Corey will back me up on this. It's the one where Aaron Rodgers' brother was looking for love.
Sure.
And so,
from Aaron or from a girl?
I think from a girl. Oh, okay. Pretty sure. Mm-hmm. Because
he's still looking for love from Aaron.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that's not happening.
And so we walked in after practice, after the show. We're just talking, and we walk in, and they're like, "It's the finale."
You got choked up there. You got choked up there, Kevin.
Bachelorette makes him emotional.
I needed water.
I don't remember.
It wasn't
this.
That emotional.
I don't remember this. I've never really watched The Bachelor. So I don't know what you're talking
Fish
about.
Fish was sitting there with his shirt off, and
you've never watched The Bachelor, but you are known to, all right, let me blend into the social setting.
Yes, I am
so
a blender.
So if there were people around leaning into The Bachelor, you probably went, yeah, me too. This is, we're trying to listen. Yeah, like, I can see you doing that.
I'm not a Star Wars fan, but I'll go there for opening night.
Huh. Just.
It's an event.
Okay.
Gotta be there.
And I think it was Sean who was leading the crusade, because I remember Chris Harrison was out there.
And he was.
And we were like, who? And he goes, you can't be serious. The host of The Bachelor?
The host of The Bachelor.
And I'm like, I'm sorry, I've not seen it.
Till he got
ousted.
I need
to drink more water.
What do we, so you can tell what's coming up on the show. No, he obviously can't talk.
972 said, Choppy said he's an innings eating father. I'm Patrick Corbin. Just getting you some innings.
Oh my gosh. All right.
Slider man.
Yeah, you know.
That's a good line. Innings eater.
You're
the Patrick Corbin.
Dads that want all the credit. Like, you don't have to get any credit. You're a dad, man. We're dads. You know, be there when they need to. Answer the phone. Take them places. Give them the tools. Mm-hmm. You're not special. You're a dad. You're a dad.
So obviously we'll talk plenty about the NBA Finals, but also we'll lead off the show by asking, what the hell is this show this week? Because Eric's here and Jacob's here. So we're just like, we're just shipping all the new people in for this specific show. And then also our brand new segment at 11:22. Want to see what you guys think about this. Chia Follow gives our audience an erection.
Okay.
Or maybe erection? I'm working on the pronunciation.
Erection.
Yeah, erection.
I think erection's probably good.
Yeah, I think erection's
fine. Chia Follow will
give
us an erection.
Although erection has a more pronounced play.
Thank
pronounced,
you.
Pronounced play. That's okay. All right.
Is this the first time you've done KNC?
This
since he went to GBAC.
No, but this is the first time he and I have ever done a show together.
Yeah, yeah. I've never hosted a show fully with Hagee or with Corey. I've filled in for them when they are out, like with Walchuk or whatever.
Hagee can be very difficult to do a show with.
For finding that out
No,
already.
No, you're going to understand why when I say it. Hagee's natural inclination on the air is, let's protect this show. Let's not tear it down saying stupid things. Like that's his natural inclination. Off the air, his natural inclination is to stoke the fires of whatever he's trying to prevent on the air.
Yeah.
And so then it's like, you're getting a different vibe.
What?
We're off the air. He's like, he's leaning into all your bits and all your jokes about things. And then on the air, he's like, oh God, please don't say that. It's a very,
I will admit,
it's a confusing dichotomy at times.
Mostly in the political space, there are things that I thoroughly enjoy discussing off air that I do not think should be discussed.
No, I actually love hosting Peggy. It's fun. You'll enjoy it.
I was actually expecting a retweet from every one of you guys this weekend. And
I didn't even know about it. I'm sorry. I didn't see it. I liked the tweets.
Oh yeah, I did get a like from Peggy.
Yeah, because likes aren't public anymore. That's why he did it.
I wasn't touching that one, Eric.
Peyton, why don't you read the tweet that you liked?
Oh, it was the personal one, too. Yeah, I don't know if I want to read that one.
You can read it. Did you guys
read the tweet that you liked? You liked it, okay? You used your finger and you clicked the like button. You decided with your finger and your brain.
We got a meeting today, Eric. I don't know.
No, we got
scheduled to Tuesday.
Oh, man.
Tomorrow's a toxic Tuesday. You're fine.
Hey, did you hear? Hold on. Let's do Broadus's tweet first while you look for that. Did you guys hear Broadus's tweet?
No.
Somebody was like in his mentions about LSU winning, and he goes, wow, what a shocker. A school whose baseball budget is five times the entire athletic budget of Coastal Carolina barely won. Hey, congrats. And brought us quote tweets and says, life got you a little down? The news overseas is a little unsettling, I have to admit.
Yeah, let's talk about the war, baby. Let's talk about that.
The first thing that I saw that popped up on Eric's timeline was, I refuse to listen to or take advice from someone named Moses Suck.
There you go.
That's literally your ad name on Twitter, bro.
KNC Masterpiece bringing in some G5 help. All coming up next. That's right. Group of five, baby.
Okay.
Group of five. That's all next on the fan.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tea Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tea Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tea Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972 Go Men's Tea or Men'sTeaClinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.